Thank you, Dr. Buchanan. It's a great joy to be back here at the wonderful Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. While you're turning there, I want to thank Dr. Buchanan for letting me come and have the distinct privilege of preaching to you wonderful people. Good to have you preachers from all different parts of the country here tonight. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to encourage me by being here. And I would ask you to pray for the meeting as we'll be going through Wednesday night, that God would bless and help us and give us exactly what we need from His Word. It's a long way from Tennessee to Louisiana. And I passed the stop sign and it said, whoa. And I knew I was in Louisiana. So I'm glad to be out here in the middle of nowhere with you wonderful people. Luke chapter 17, verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I've read these scriptures. Thank you, y'all. I thought y'all were trying to vote me out. You can be seated. I've seen you on Duck Dynasty, brother. We're glad you're here tonight. I have read these verses a lot of times. And I have tried to figure out to the best of my ability how God could do the same miracle for 10 men and only one of them take the time to come back and even say thanks. And every time I've ever read these verses or preached from them, I've always used the thought of thanksgiving. But I want to turn that around a little bit tonight, and I want to preach on this subject, why the lepers showed no thanks. Why the lepers showed no thanks. There is a major lack of people being grateful with gratitude and thankfulness in this day in which we're living in. And once a nation forgets to be thankful, it automatically turns greedy. And if that's not America tonight, I'll eat your dirty socks. The only time politicians are lying is when their lips are moving. Everybody's out to shaft somebody else out of what they have. And that's a result of a nation that has stopped their gratitude toward God. I don't even know the last time I've heard anybody say thank you out in public. I've been married to my wife 37 years, and I'm honored that she's here with me tonight. Did you know, even today, after 37 years of being married, today, when we stop and eat, you know the first thing she said to me after we got done eating? Thank you for the meal. We've been married 37 years, and there's never been a time that I fed her that she has not thanked me. When she cooks a meal at the house, before I leave the table, I always look at my wife and say, thank you for the meal. And sometimes, that's been rough. Don't laugh, you hypocrite. Your wife ain't that good either. She cooked biscuits one day, and I took one on the airplane, and they took it from me, said there was no weapons allowed. But isn't it amazing that after all these years, I still find a time to say thank you to my wife for cooking a meal? See, now we've raised a generation that has the attitude of entitlement instead of the attitude of being fortunate. They feel like they deserve everything. You might as well shout, because I'm going to preach it anyhow. I went to the George Patton Museum in Kentucky by Fort Knox, and if you've never been there, you need to go. I like General Patton. I like he cussed those Germans. Now, I wouldn't do that, but I shouted while he did. I encouraged him. And there's a lot of good things about him that I could say, but one thing that was amazing about General Patton that a lot of people don't know or you don't read about in a lot of history books is for 35 years out of his own pocket, he supplied rehabilitation camps for untold thousands and thousands of soldiers that came back from World War II that had mental afflictions and disabilities and were paranoia. And out of his own pocket, General Patton, for 35 years, ran camps that supplied them free care to take care of them because he felt like the government was failing their veterans. I wonder what he would think now. And out of all of those years and all of those thousands of soldiers that went through that camp free of charge, General Patton said he got one thank you letter. Several years ago in New York, and I'm not necessarily condoning this, but the paper decided that they were going to print letters from children to Santa Claus. In just a matter of 24 hours, untold thousands of letters were coming in. Kids writing, telling Santa Claus what they wanted for the holiday and the Christmas season. And when all the wrapping paper was opened and Christmas was over, out of the thousands and thousands of kids that wrote in wanting requests, one 9-year-old boy wrote a thank you letter to the paper. See, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with a whole nation that thinks it's odd to say thank you. A Chinese proverb said, nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart. But I want to focus in on why these lepers never did show thanks. You'll find that all of us fit within one or five of these categories that I'm going to give you quickly. When I read this text, I see 10 men that are isolated from their family and friends and community due to their leprous condition. They're gross to look at. They stink. They're rotting from the inside out. And they're experiencing untold amounts of pain on a daily basis. They have no home. They have no job. They have no food. They have no future. They're to remain outcast until they die. And even then, they can't even have a decent funeral for them. They were hated, despised, rejected by everybody around them. I wonder what it was like when they would look over the walls of the city on a Saturday morning and watch the kids run up and down the cobblestone street, wondering if some of those were theirs. When they would watch the family sit down at the outside tables, outside the storefront restaurants, and eat and joke and laugh, while they clutched the blood-stained rags that were twisted tightly around their flesh to keep it from falling off the bone. And all they had to look forward to was suffering and pain and agony and a premature death. And to be totally healed from all of that instantly. How could they help but to run back and fall at the feet of Jesus and just take a moment and say, thank you. Why didn't they show any thanks? I'm going to show you from the Bible very quickly. Number one, I believe they didn't show thanks because it's the sign of the times. Now, if you study Luke chapter number 17, what's amazing is this story just wasn't thrown in there. The whole rest of the chapter is donated to signs of the last times. And what they are showing us is one of those signs is lack of gratitude. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, did not Paul say that in the last days men would be unthankful and unholy? This ungrateful society is just another proof that the second coming of Jesus Christ is just around the corner. It's like it was in the days of Noah. It's like it was in the days of Lot. It's like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You got this kind of same-sex marriage that's being condoned. You got wickedness being practiced out in the open. You got people that don't even know how to say thank you. And the Word of God warns us, when you see these signs come to pass, you might as well look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Can you all hear me in the back? Good. Just wanted to make sure. You look like you're straining. Could it be that we are living in the last generation before the coming of the Lord Jesus? And it's being proven by our lack of gratitude. Think about it. We've never had it better than we have right now. We got better cars, better clothes, better homes. We're making more money. I mean, seriously, things aren't always the best in the world right now in our country, but we got it better than they did 50 years ago. And it seems like the better God is to America, the less gratitude you find coming from the lips and the hearts of His people. Signs of the times. Number two, could it be they didn't show thanks because they were spoiled by their parents? Now please keep your seat because your car's blocked and the bathrooms are broke. Maybe they never took time to thank Jesus because they were taught that way by not seeing gratitude and appreciation in the home by their parents. You know, there's times as parents we need to look at our children when they want something and we need to say no just for principle's sake. Because your children need to find out that in life you don't always get everything you want every time you want it. That's why I don't go shopping, because I would be in jail tonight instead of in Baton Rouge. Because I'm tired of walking in stores and kids standing in the center aisle screaming bloody murder like somebody's getting ready to cut their head off because they can't have their 15th toy this week. And then you got mama standing over there with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth that long yelling, "Time out! Time out!" Finally, I went over there to this lady that was waddling down the aisle and I said, "Lady, what does time out mean?" She said, "Well, when he starts acting up like this, I count to 10 and I give him the 10 to hold his breath and get himself under control." She said, "Now don't tell me your daddy didn't believe in time out." I said, "No, ma'am. My daddy believed in knocking you out. And the only time my daddy counted to 10 was he gave me the 10 to get back up off the floor or he'd kick me like a football. And I tell you what, if we get rid of this nonsense and start teaching our children, brother, that they need to be thankful for what they've got, and you're not always going to get everything." Amen. That's good preaching, isn't it? Could it be that these lepers never returned to show thanks because they were raised in an atmosphere where they were spoiled and they were never taught? Let me tell you something. If my son was outside a colony, and my son was eat up with leprosy, and my son was going to die prematurely, and God healed my son, whether my son ever went back to find Jesus or not, I tell you one thing, Brother Buchanan, I wouldn't have went to bed as a parent till I found him. And I'd have said, "Lord, I tell you, I appreciate you healing my son. I appreciate you hearing my prayer. I appreciate you." Where do you find one parent ever seeking out Jesus? So could it be the children were this way because the parent was that way? Here's what I believe has happened. I believe in our generation, a lot of us at least, had to do without. I know that was true in my life. And I wouldn't go into detail because I love my family. But I didn't have a lot of basics that a lot of people had in my generation. So what we decided, Brother Silvertooth, was this. We wasn't going to let our children have it rough like we did. And not meaning to, we went too far the other way. And we've given them everything that's come on the market. Every time there's a new cell phone, they got to have it. Every time there's a new toy, they got to have it. Every time there's a new Xbox, they have to have it. Some of you parents looking like you got the flu. Is there something wrong with you tonight? You got that faraway look, sir, like you're not coming back. And I think what we've done, not meaning to, is we turned this thing the other way. And we've produced a generation that has so much, they don't even know how to say thank you anymore. Let me illustrate. Let me ask you young people here. When's the last time you've left a note to your mom and dad thanking them for the things they've done for you? When's the last time you slid a card under the bedroom door saying, "Look, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you doing without so I can have some things in my life"? When's the last time, instead of inspecting a gift, you went out and bought one for your parents and said, "Look, I just wanted you to know that I love you and I don't take you for granted and I know what you're doing without to make sure that I can go to a Christian school"? Do you kids understand your family could be making a house payment for what most of them are paying to keep you in a Christian school? Do you understand the sacrifice? Your dad's carrying lunch to work so you could have a hot meal every day. And they're living in a lower income house. And they're driving older cars. And they're not wearing as good of clothes as they could. And they're making all that sacrifice for you. And you can't say thank you. And you can't leave a note. And you can't leave a card. There's something wrong with you. Could it be they didn't say thanks because they were spoiled by their parents. Number three, could it be they didn't say thanks because even though they were blessed, they had a spiritual problem? I want to give you something to think about. Jesus never did say to any of them that their faith made them whole, except this Samaritan that came back in verse number 19. See, the others just wanted healed, but they never got saved. They wanted blessed, but they didn't want to get born again. Most people, all they want out of Jesus is to get healed, restored, and help. Then when they get everything they can get out of Him, they put Him away like a spare tire and turn their back on Him and never look back again. And I'm telling you, people only call on Jesus and they only want the Lord when they're at the bitter end and there's no more hope and there's no more help. Then they turn to God. God gives them relief and you never find them in the house of God again. If you've got a concept that Jesus is only here to pay your bills, heal your body, and solve your problems, you've got a warped concept of God. I see people come to church because their marriage is on the rocks, and you spend hours trying to patch up that mess, and they finally get a little stability back in their marriage, and you can't find them with the FBI. They want their water bill paid, their electric bill paid, they want their rent paid, they want their satellite bill paid, they want the cigarette bill paid. Then when they get money out of their church, they go down the road and talk about how low down and sorry you are because you don't pay all their bills. I say there's something wrong with that crowd. When you really get born again, you love Jesus because of who He is, not because of what He does. Yes, sir, you don't use Jesus. You appreciate the Lord. You respect the grace of God. And I say to you, a lot of this crowd, the reason why many people never show spiritual gratitude, the truth of the matter, they've never been born again. Some of you have never let out a holy hoot in your life. You've never testified. All you do is play with your fingernails, look at your car keys, and Twitter or Twatter or whatever you do on your phone and fool around. And while other people are rejoicing in God, you're bored and you're wallowing your eyes and you can't wait to get out. I say there's something wrong with that. When somebody's bragging on Him, something inside of you ought to say, amen. You ought to go home and practice, lady. Just look in the mirror. Close the door. Wait till everybody goes to bed. Close the door, look in the mirror, and go, amen. It's not really all that hard to do. Now, when you first get saved, you may not understand all of that. But when you really get born again, brother, and somebody worships and gives God glory, something ought to click inside of you and say, that's real. Amen. I won't in on that. I remember my wife and I got saved. Old Miss Blagg invited us to her house. I didn't know what shouting was. My wife didn't either. We had no church background, neither one of us. I didn't know she was a shouter. She was about 80 years old. She was about that tall, wore those little cotton dresses, had her silver hair up in a bun. But I didn't know she was a shouter. I didn't even know what a shouter was. My wife and I were dating. We'd just gotten saved, and she invited us over to the house. We got there, and there was nobody there but my wife and I, and there's a table. It'd feed 50 people. That little old lady cooked all night and all day that day. We just went in there and sat down. And man, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't know nothing. I just got saved. We sat down at the table, just the three of us. And she said, Phil, I want you to pray over the food. Well, I'd never prayed over food. Didn't know what to do, where to start. So everybody bowed their head. And I said, Dear Lord. And I heard something go, whoo! I looked at my wife, I said, there's a teapot in the kitchen going off. That was exactly what it sounded like. But when I quit praying, it quit whistling. You understand? I don't know what a shouter is. And I said, I'm going to start all over again. She said, that'll be fine. I said, now, dear Lord, and I said, man, something ain't right around here today. Something ain't right. Man, hair standing up on the back of my neck, and I quit praying again. And the whistle quit again. And I didn't know that verse, but the Bible says to watch and pray. So I closed one eye. I said, I'm going to find out where that's coming from. You understand? I didn't know what a shouter was. I've never been around people excited about God. So I closed one eye, and I started to pray again, and it was her. God was a blessing that little old silver-haired lady, and when I'd start praying, she'd go, whoo! It scared me half to death. Finally, she stood up. Me and my wife were looking at each other. Our eyes are going like this. I didn't know what the woman was doing. And she got out of the chair and walked around that table and was clapping her little bony hands up over her head. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You told me you're going to put your hand on this boy." I'm saying, "Don't do that. Don't be touching on me like that." I didn't know what she was talking about. And she walked all around that table clapping her hands and the sweat running off of her face. And she was going, "Woo!" And I was scared to death. But all of a sudden, brother, something clicked inside of me. I didn't know all about it, but something said, "That's real. That's real. That's real." You know what I've been doing for 37 years now? I get in on it every chance I get. And if you really get right with God, you'll rejoice every once in a while yourself. Could it be they never shouted because they had a spiritual problem? Number four, let me hurriedly say, could it be they never come back to give God praise because they were shy of worship? Now notice what this one guy did. I wish some of you would have been standing beside him. Verse 15, with a loud voice. Underline that in your Bible, sir. Show it to your Presbyterian pastor. With a loud voice. Somebody said, "Oh, I worship God, but you understand. I do it quietly in my heart." All right. The next time you're at a football game and your team scores and you jump up and act like an idiot having a seizure, I'm going to say, "Shh. Everybody shut down. We're supposed to be doing this in our heart." I'd hate to know I got more excited about a ball game. I'd hate to know I was more excited about a golf course. I'd hate to know I was more excited about a NASCAR race than I was my name being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he shouted out loud. And that crowd said, "Oh, he embarrasses me when he does that." I was in Louisiana years ago. Your youth group was there. We had about 800 young people, and I was preaching a youth meeting. And our youth director was down there with our youth. And he's a good guy. He's a great guy, but he's just real backward. And I told him, I said, "Brother, I'd like to see you shout one time. You're just so morbid and dead. Just to see you even look like you're saved would be awesome." And he said, "Brother kid, I I love that kind of stuff, but it's just not me." And I said, "Brother, I'm praying whatever it takes. I don't care. I want God to make you shout during this meeting." He said, "Don't start that nonsense, brother kid. You know I'm not going to shout. I've never said amen in my life." And I was preaching down there at that youth camp. You had a whole busload down there. And brother, it was standing room only in a metal building, and the air conditioners blew up. I mean, like a bomb. Boom! And it was about this time of year, and it was so hot you couldn't breathe in that place. And so they opened up the doors to try to get some air into this auditorium, and it was so crowded you couldn't move. And so they opened up the doors to try to get some air. And a woman Pentecostal preacher came that night with her husband. And I'm talking about the old style, that if you trimmed your hair, shaved your underarms, you went to hell. And so she had a stack on her head about this high that went straight up. And when she come in the back door, she had to dip her head to come in. And sweet lady. And her husband came in and sat over here. And our youth director was sitting over here. And Louisiana has a lot of problems. But one thing they have that I cannot stand are horseflies. Now, every state has horseflies, but not like Louisiana. Son, I've seen them carry kids off. And they're huge. And the ones you have down here, they bite. They'll bite you, man. They'll eat you alive. And so we're in that building, and we got the doors open, and it's nighttime, and we got the lights on, and the ceiling fans are running wide open. Well, you know where the horse flies are coming. They're coming in the building. So I'm trying to preach, and these horse flies are flying in the building. And that Pentecostal woman was sitting back there, and that horse fly was flying around. And all of a sudden, one of the paddles of that fan hit that horse fly and shot it down in the bun on her head. Well, her husband saw it go in the bun, so he reached over and smacked it. And when it did, it knocked that bun over on this side of her head and is sticking out in the aisle. I'm trying to preach without breaking down and just falling in the floor laughing. And these horse flies kept coming in, and the ceiling fans had hit them and shoot them right down in the congregation. Well, our youth director sitting back there, as dead as a hammer as he's always been, and only God could have ordained this. You couldn't make this happen in 100 years. Boom! That paddle hit that horse fly, and it shot it down in between his eye and his glasses. And I don't know why, but he pushed up on his glasses and trapped that horsefly in his eyelid. And the horsefly did what horseflies do. They start biting. So he pushed up on his glasses. I look back there and he's going, "Wow! Wow!" I said, "He got it! He got it!" I've been in a lot of dead churches. I wish they'd open the doors and let a few of them in. Amen. Don't ever be shy of worship. Don't ever be bashful of the Lord. Be glad to be an old-time Christian. Stand up for Jesus. He's the best thing that's ever happened to us. Is that why you've not been thankful? You're shy of worship? Number five, the one I want to get to, and I'm leaving. Could it be that they were slaves to their past? Could it be that they had lived this way for so long that they could not accept the fact that they had been cleansed from all of their corruption? They were so busy looking at their past rags, scars, and the fact that they were outcasts that they were literally uncomfortable trusting in Jesus. May I say to you, reliving your past offers no future. It'll drag you down, rob you of your joy, stun your spiritual growth, drive you crazy, hinder your testimony, and limit the blessings of God on your life. When the devil comes, reminds you of your past, just tell him about his future. I put this in my journal many years ago. I refuse to let the dirty laundry of my yesterday be hung out on the clothesline of my future. You know why some of you can't enjoy God? Because every time you get ready to just bless Him and bless His name and brag on Him, the devil will bring something up. Yeah, but what about this? What about that? Hey, don't you remember when you failed Him there? Don't you remember? Look, let me tell you something, lady. We're not here tonight because any of us are worthy. We're here tonight because He's worthy. None of us are worthy to be here. And if you had to be worthy to testify, none of us would testify. We've all messed up. We've all dropped the ball. We've all blown the game. But aren't you glad that God's a God of a second chance that'll pick you back up, put you on the front line, and let you get back in the will of God? I started embalming in 1974. And the funeral home business has stooped to such a new low that now in most states where I embalm, we can't bury anybody with any kind of jewelry, rings, earrings, necklaces. Most cemeteries won't let you bury people with any kind of artifact now. And the reason why they started doing that, Brother Howard, is people in the family that have drug addictions and stuff that knows they've been buried with that will come back after the deceased has been buried and disinter and dig the dead body up. The first time I ever saw that happen at a public cemetery, I thought to myself, I don't know if humanity can get any low down and sorrier. I don't know if you can get any sorrier than to dig up something dead that's been buried and put away. But some of you do that every morning. What God has forgiven you of and buried, what God has declared dead, what God has told you to leave behind, you'll let the low-down devil drag you back into the cemetery of your past, and there you stand over the skeletons of the mistakes you made, whether it be rebellion, whether it be pregnant out of wedlock, whether it be a drinking problem, whether it be divorce, whether it be some kind of hang-up. It doesn't even matter what it is. If you put it under the blood, always remember God has forgiven you, and now you need to learn to forgive yourself. Get your head up. Grab your Bible. Get back in the will of God and thank Him every day that He's a forgiving and a loving sovereign God. So I want to ask you, why aren't you thanking Him?